in this assembly today were Jewish men, we wouldn't be in Limestone County if we lived under the law of Moses. If we were Jewish men and we lived to see today, we'd all be in Jerusalem. Today is Pentecost on the calendar of 2018. 50 days ago was around the time of what we often call Easter Sunday, but the Jews didn't observe Easter Sunday. The Jews observed Passover. 7 Sabbaths after the Passover, plus one day, the one day would always be a Sunday, fell exactly as today would fall. The Feast of Pentecost was a very important feast to the Jewish people. It was a reminder. It was a reminder of the goodness of God to them. It was a reminder of what was known as the harvest of the wheat harvest. Have you noticed here in Limestone County, those that sowed the wheat, that sowed it in the winter, and that came up green during the winter, now in the spring, you notice how it's got the grain now at the top of the head? By the way, it's a single ear. Though the King James calls it corn, we think of corn as an ear of corn on a corn stalk. Literally, it meant the head of the wheat at the top of the plant. This is the time of year in Israel, in the plain of Sharon, the valley of Jezreel, so forth, anywhere where they grew the wheat crop. Now you'd harvested that crop, and you took the first fruits. As a very key term to a Jew. As a matter of fact, it is carried over into the New Testament to refer to a spiritual quality. And so today, that's what I want to study with you about, is this concept of the first fruit. And take your Bible and turn to Jeremiah chapter 2, verses 2 and 3. The prophet Jeremiah is trying to get his town, Jerusalem, the capital of the nation, particularly the southern kingdom. He's trying to get them to see how that God sees them as a very, very important people. And yet, they have turned unto idolatry. Their hearts are turned into idolatry, even as Josiah is trying to turn their hearts back to God. And while he started the reform, it's not going to be long after Josiah's death that you will find them revert quickly into idolatry and ultimately into Babylonian captivity. But I want to read with you Jeremiah 2, verses 2 and 3, because God, through the prophet, is making a point to this nation. He says, "Go and cry in the ears of Jerusalem, saying, Thus says the Lord, I remember thee, the kindness of thy youth, the love of thine espousals, when thou wentest after me in the wilderness, in a land that was not sown. Israel was holiness unto the Lord, and the first fruits of his increase. All that devour him shall offend. Evil shall come upon them, says the Lord." Now, if you read the rest of their chapter, what you'll find is God is basically trying to get them to recall to remembrance what their past was when they came out of Egypt, and now what they have become. It's important to remember your roots. It's important to remember where you came from, particularly spiritually, where you came from. Some of the great interviews that I've ever watched and listened to with reference to what we would class as great people in all kind of aspects, generally what you'll say is, how is it that you have maintained this integrity and this sort of a charismatic, you know, personality toward people that everybody seems to like you? He says, "I never forgot where I came from. Life wasn't always this way. Life was tough. Life was back in an old farm town, or it was in the neighborhoods that most people didn't come out of in a good way." Well, God is basically telling this nation, let's go back and remember. Remember when you came out of Egypt, out of bondage? You remember when I brought you through the wilderness, brought you to this land, this promised land? Remember you, as it were, when you were in your youth, this young nation, we would call it. When all of a sudden everything had prospects for greatness, it says you were the first fruits of the increase. That doesn't mean much to Gentiles, so to speak, because that wasn't the nature of how they would serve their gods. But to a Jew, to be called a first fruit was to be called something special. So let's study this in the concept of three ideas. Number one, let's look at this background of the idea of the first fruits. And then number two, let's talk about the behavior. What was the behavior in view of the fact that God has now given you this first crop? And what are you to do with the very first crop that you get in the spring? And you are to give the first fruits unto God. And then number three, who were the beneficiaries of it? There was a specific group of people in the nation of Israel under the law of Moses that actually got to keep the first fruits of the nation round about when they would bring it to first the tabernacle, later on to the temple. So look at the background. In these three sections, in Exodus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, I'm not going to look at all three of them, but let's turn to Exodus 23. This is the first time you find God's command to this nation through Moses as to what was to be a perpetual practice year by year by year of this nation who's just come out of Egypt. This is against the background of what we read. This is the background, actually, of what we've read in Jeremiah 2, verses 2 and 3. So Exodus 23, first of all, in verse 16. He talks about the three times a year that a Jewish male was to go to the place where God put his name. By the way, they are Passover, Pentecost, and Feast of Tabernacles. But in particular, in verse 16, he references what's known as the Feast of Pentecost. And it says, it is the Feast of Harvest. Okay? Then he says, the first fruits of thy laborers, which thou hast sown in the field. Now, that's not vineyards. That's not orchards. That's seed that's been put in the ground. So this is the seed that was planted in the wintertime that came up through what was called the early, the latter rains. The latter rains are the spring rains, by the way. The early rains are the winter rains. The spring rains are over now, and now the harvest is coming in May, and or in this time of year. So now you're going out to glean the harvest. Let me sort of illustrate it this way. If you've got a garden, by the way, some of you probably planted your summer gardens, but even if you had a spring garden, and sometimes people do plant spring gardens. Is there any difference between the quality of what you plant in your own garden versus what you buy in a store that may have been picked and harvested back who knows how long ago? I guess the one thing in the South I remember growing up when Dad and Mom wanted us to have a garden was a tomato. Tomato. How many of you remember eating tomatoes all the way through the wintertime? And you just taste of it and it's like, that's a tomato. I know it's a tomato, but it doesn't taste like a tomato. And all of a sudden, you put that plant out, and now it's starting to grow, and you get the first one off the vine. You remember that? Can you taste it right now? Okay. The first one you pick off the vine, that's not yours, and that's not mine. That's the first fruits. And the first fruits went to God. And technically, went to those who represented between the people and God, which we'll see in just a second who that was under the law of Moses. But the first fruits, it was a picture of something. It also gave a spiritual implication of a connection between the hearts of the people and the heart of God. Drop down now to verse 19. He says, the first of the first fruits of thy land thou shalt bring unto the house of the Lord thy God. And then it says, thou shalt not see the kid in his mother's milk, which gives further instructions. But the idea is, what am I to do with the very first thing I pick in the springtime? Man, I've been waiting on this all winter. What am I to do with the first thing that I pick in the springtime? I am to take the first of the first fruits, and I am to take it to the house of the Lord. By the way, is that a sacrifice? You've been waiting on this all this time, and now I can't even eat this? I've got to give this first fruit, first of the first fruits, to God? It's exactly the background of this concept, all right? So now let's move on to the behavior. Turn to Deuteronomy 26. Notice now, even in this chapter and in this section, the attitude that was to accompany the bringing of the first fruits. Because this is a statement, actually Deuteronomy 26 is a marvelous chapter. It has to do with how the Jews were to see spiritually themselves between them and God, and the Israelite nation, obviously, in this case. But particularly as you start now in verse 10, and now, this is the person speaking as he's offering this offering at the house of the Lord. And now, behold, I have brought the first fruits of the land, which thou, O Lord, has given me. Notice that idea. It's not mine originally. It is what you gave me. It originates with you. Thou shalt set it before the Lord thy God and worship before the Lord thy God. See, this was a form of worship under the law of Moses on the day of Pentecost. Then look at verse 10 or verse 11. And thou shalt, watch this, rejoice in every good thing which the Lord thy God has given unto thee, and unto thine house, thou and the Levite and the stranger that is among you. So what is harvest time? What is the spring harvest supposed to represent? Number one, it's an opportunity to give unto God who gave to me. It's a time by which everybody went to worship, and it was also a time to rejoice. Rejoice. Is worship service rejoicing to you? Skip over a couple of chapters in Deuteronomy to Deuteronomy 28. In Deuteronomy 28, you have what's known as the blessings and the cursings. If you obey me, I bless you. If you disobey, I curse you. And the different levels in which God would curse is showing his long suffering until ultimately his fury came. The question would arise, why would God punish a nation so awful that he would send them away from this land into a land they didn't even know their own language and make them slaves? They were slaves in Egypt. You're going to make them slaves again? Why would God allow his people to end up back in slavery in a totally different land? Notice these statements that are made here in this chapter, Deuteronomy 28. I'm going to start in verse 46. Verse 45 says, here's all these curses. Moreover, all these curses shall come upon thee. Verse 46, they shall be upon thee for a sign and for a wonder, and upon thy seed forever. What is a sign? They shall be for a sign and an amazement. In other words, when people see this happening to you, the world's going to ask the question, what does that mean? What is that talking about? Where is that pointing toward? Now watch verse 47. If you mark in your Bible, you mark this verse down. For this is God's explanation as to why he punished these nations, the northern kingdom, the southern kingdom in particular. Because thou servest not the Lord thy God with what? What's the word? Oh, we gave you what you asked for. We gave you the first of the first fruits. Now let us get out of here. In Amos, in the days of the prophet Amos, they said, when will the new moon be gone and the Sabbath that we may sell the refuge of the wheat, buy the poor for a pair of shoes? So they're not interested in worship. They care less about worship. They're only interested in this. The love of money is the root of all evil. Why is God going to bring these curses upon them? Because you serve not the Lord thy God with joyfulness and with gladness of heart. Gladness of heart. Why should we be glad? Finish that verse, guys. For the abundance of all things. When they got the first fruits of this harvest, were they to give 100% of it to the place where God's name was? They weren't to give 100% of it. You got to keep most of it. Matter of fact, a large percentage of it. But you were to give the first of the first fruits. God has blessed you so abundantly, you'll never eat all of this. As a matter of fact, the law of Moses said in the book of Deuteronomy that you will gain so much that when you've got storehouses, by the time the next product comes in, you won't have a big enough barn to put it in. By the way, I'm asking for the first of the first fruits in the wheat harvest. And that you do it with joyfulness, with gladness. And that you rejoice with the Levite and with the stranger and with the fatherless and the widow. That everyone share and share alike in what God has now blessed all of us. Folks, this was an attitude of the Old Testament. We hadn't even got to the New Testament yet. If we were living under the law of Moses, this is exactly what we would be doing. This would be a happy day. This would be the day which we first started getting harvest straight out of the ground. We don't have to eat the old store anymore. Man, it's just coming up out of the ground right and left right now. God is blessing us more than we'll ever be able to take care of. All right? Turn now to Proverbs 3, verses 9 and 10. Here is Solomon talking to his son. By the way, Solomon, did he ever have to ask anywhere how much something cost if he wanted it? Had he been blessed so more abundantly than any king that had ever walked on this planet? Folks, silver wasn't even counted in his day. They had so much of it, much less gold and everything else. So Solomon is now talking to his son with reference to serving God. Watch verse 9. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. Why? So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. How many of you want to prosper materially? Literally, you want to prosper materially. Well, right here is a biblical expression of how God blesses his people. In verse 9, he says, give to me first. Give to me first. Trust me. And trust me to take care of you more than you'll ever be able to take care of. Your barns will be full. The vats will run over. Run over. The last song that Brother Tim Pepper led here, before I got in his pulpit, Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, you know, lie down in green pasture, and so forth. There's a line in that song, maybe we didn't sing it. It says, my cup does what? Runneth over. What in the world does that mean to a Gentile? My cup runneth over. There is no way man could ever outgive God. Name and aspect, there's no way. He that is the controller of the universe, who gives the rain and the sunshine on the just and even on the unjust, the cup runs over. Honor the Lord with thy substance and the first fruit of thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy vats, wine vats, overflowing with new wine. By the way, that's the juice that was being pressed out of the vines, out of the grapes. What are you looking at here? Turn to Ezekiel 44. Note this section. While this section basically has to do with the return from captivity and the ultimate rebuilding of the temple and therefore the occupation of the land, Ezekiel 44 and verse 30 expresses, again, this idea of behavior and attitude, and also it gives highlight into who the recipients are. It says, the first of all, the first fruits of all things, every oblation of all of every sort of your oblations shall be the priest. You shall also give unto the priest the first of your dough. That, why? That means in order that he may cause the blessing to rest in thine house. In other words, you've come to honor God with your substance. You've come to the place where God put his names. You're bringing the first of your first fruits. You're doing it with joy, with gladness. And the priest offers up a prayer of blessing, thanksgiving to God in your behalf. And when you go home, God says, now right there is my people and I'm going to take care of them. Your cup is going to run over. Your barns are going to run out the walls. Your vats are going to overflow. By the way, that's not why you're giving so God will give you back. You're giving because God's God. You're giving because of gratitude. You're giving because you know you don't deserve it. It's God's goodness and grace. But God says, if you do it with the right attitude and what I ask of you to do, trust me, I can take care of you better than you could ever take care of yourself. Now, why wouldn't people want to worship a God like that? Why wouldn't people want to serve a God like that? Go bow down to a piece of wood, stone, or metal and see if that thing can give you anything. It is a dumb idol, it is said in the Old Testament. It is called vanities. It has ears it cannot hear. It has eyes it cannot see. It has a nose it cannot smell. He that made the eye, can he not see? He that made the ear, can he not hear? Folks, that's right out of the book of Jeremiah. He said, let's go back and remember the days of your youth, the days of your espousals, when you were the first fruits unto God in the wilderness. This is a special day. This is a special time. The beneficiaries, if you go to 2 Chronicles, Nehemiah 10, Nehemiah 12, the beneficiary were the priest, the priesthood. I'm not going to read those verses. You can sort of do that on your own. But the idea is, here are the people that had the land. The harvest is coming in. You take it to the place where you went to worship, the first of the first fruits, and the recipients were the ones who worked for God at the tabernacle, later at the temple, and they got to eat it. So he says, man, I did all this work. I've done all that harvest. I bring the first of that, and I don't get to eat any of that. You got more back home than you'll ever be able to eat. And the job of the priest was to do the spiritual work of the mediation between them and God. By the way, our high priest is at the right hand of God, and priests still exist on this planet. Yes? We're coming to the New Testament in just a second. So who are the actual beneficiaries of the first fruits? It's the priesthood. So now let's go to the New Testament. In the New Testament, you find the word first fruits. Quite interesting that you should use a Jewish term to talk about New Testament concepts. In Romans 11 and verse 16, he is giving a discussion here about the nation of Israel and then the Gentiles in turn, and illustrating the specialness of these people with reference to God. He says, for if the first fruit be holy, the lump is also holy. If the root be holy, so are the branches. Now, this doesn't exactly say who the first fruit is. We're coming to that. In other words, if this is the source, what is that which comes out from the source? If here is the lump, what of the other? If this is the root, what are the branches that come out? By the way, the natural branches are the Jewish Christians. The unnatural branches are the Gentiles that have been grafted in, according to Romans 11. So the idea is, if the natural branches are cut off in order for the wild grafted branches to be brought in, cannot the natural branches be grafted back into the regular stump? Absolutely. Natural branches naturally, excuse expression, naturally fit back into the same thing you cut it off of. So what's the idea? Something with reference to Christ, the Jews are part of it, the Gentiles are part of it. But where is the source of the blessings of the Jew and the Gentile? It's in the lump. It's in the first fruit. It's in the root from which the branches come. So now let's go to 1 Corinthians 15, verse 20, and let the Bible explain the Bible. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 20. Paul says, now this I say, brethren, excuse me, that's verse 50, right? Verse 20. He says, but now is Christ risen from the dead. So the resurrection of Christ has something to do with the Christian and this concept of first fruits. Now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. Listen, there were a lot of people who died and were raised from the dead, and they died again. not true with Christ. He is the first of his kind. He is the first fruits of others that are coming. So who is this lump that is the first fruits by which then all this that comes out of it produces? This lump is Christ. He is the first fruit of them that slept. Look at then in verse 23. But every man in his own order. Christ, the first fruits, and afterward, they that are Christ at his coming. What does that mean to a Jew? On the day of Pentecost, what a Jew would do is he would bring the first of the first fruits to the place where God put his name to worship with joyfulness and gladness. But God the Father gave his first fruit. You see the picture? In the Old Testament, man was to give the first fruit that God gave him. God gave his first fruit. And out of his first fruit, now those who are coming. In James 1 and verse 18, by the way, the book of James was written primarily to the 12 tribes scattered abroad. It's a Jewish congregation here you're talking about. Early book in the New Testament. Of his own will begat he us that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. What does that mean to a Jew? What does that mean to a Jewish Christian that a Jewish Christian is called a first fruit? By the way, the gospel went to who first before it ever went to the Gentile? Jew first, right? Romans 1:16. So number one, God's first fruit of which he gave is Jesus Christ when he raised him from the dead. By the way, come back tonight, 1 Corinthians 5:7. Guess who our Passover is? Who is our Passover, the Christian's Passover? Is it some lamb of 1 year without blemish, not a bone to be broken, blood to be shed, roasted and eaten? Is that the Christian's Passover? Our Passover is Christ. Well, guess who our first fruit is? Guess who our first fruit is? I don't have to wonder who that is. The Bible says who our first fruit is. Our first fruit is Christ as well. Okay? Now, I'm going to go out on a limb here and make an observation. How many of you have ever heard of types and antitypes in the Old Testament? Types and shadows in the Old Testament and realization of what you find in the New Testament. Jesus Christ is our Passover. Jesus Christ is our first fruit. Well, what are you going to do then with the Feast of Tabernacles? Because, by the way, that was the last harvest of a year. It's also called the Feast of the Ingathering. Ingathering. By the which all God's harvest was brought together and offered to God. I believe the Feast of the End Gathering has to do with the end of time. When our Passover and our first fruit comes to gather us home. There's three major feasts of the Jewish calendar. Passover, Pentecost, Feast of the End Gathering, Feast of Tabernacles. Jesus Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to every one that believes. That's Romans 10 verse 4. Every one of these feasts, while they had the Israelite nation coming out of Egypt at its background, every one of them had a spiritual import. Every one of them. And they all had a special meaning if you saw it and you accepted it with joy. There is a Lamb of God coming that will take away the sins of the world. Who is that Lamb of God? That's the Passover Lamb that you offer by faith every year. There is a first fruit of God who is coming by which we will all rejoice in a great harvest. What is this first fruit? That's the Christ that God will raise from the dead never to die again. And there is an end gathering coming by which he takes all his people to this place we sang about a while ago. Right? Psalm 23. In the house of the Lord I will dwell evermore. Type, antitype. If you take Christ out of the Old Testament makes no sense whatsoever from a spiritual standpoint. You put Christ in, it all paints one of the greatest pictures. Last of all, let's look at some contemplations with this lesson. Number one, priorities. Priorities. There's one thing, the feast of ingathering, or the feast of harvest, and the feast of the wheat harvest, the feast of Pentecost, the feast of the first fruits taught, was you give to God first. You don't give God the leftovers. You give to God first of the fruits that God has blessed you with. Second thing is, this was a priestly blessing. Well, let me ask you a question. In the end of time, who get the priestly blessing? You're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him that called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. 1 Peter 2:9. I ask you the question, under the New Testament dispensation, who are God's priests? And who are the beneficiaries of the first fruit? Who are the beneficiaries of this? It's the priest who get the benefit. So I better find out how to become a priest, right? By the way, even females in this room are priests. That's an oddity, right? Law of Moses. And last of all, you became a special, precious people. That is exactly the point that Jeremiah was making by the Holy Spirit in Jeremiah chapter 2, verses 2 and 3. You are the first fruit of my increase. You are the first of the nation to get out of bondage and to come to where you are. And then Jeremiah says, stand in the pathway and see, and ask for the old paths, wherein is the good way, and walk therein. Jeremiah 6:16. But that's not all that verse says. And they said, we will not walk therein. Look at how far you've come from Egypt to here. You were in your youth. You're in the time of your espousal, which means marital age. You had everything going for you when I brought you out of Egypt. You are the first fruit of my increase. And what have you become? If you repent and go back to the good thing, good path, the original way, the law of Moses, if you do that, I will bless you more abundantly than you'll ever be blessed in your life. If you don't, if you don't repent and change your ways, Deuteronomy 28 says, because they did not serve me with joyfulness and gladness of heart for the abundance of all things, I will curse you. I will send you into a land whose language you do not know. And I ask you the question, does history bear that out? Did God mean what he said? When Nehemiah and those people came back, they rebuilt the temple. Ezekiel prophesied of that in Ezekiel chapter 40 through 48. You come all the way down through Haggai and Zechariah. The temple is rebuilt, and all of a sudden now the Messiah shows up on the planet. The first fruit of God shows up on the planet. First to be the Passover lamb. Next to be the first fruit raised from the dead. Now, to come for the ingathering at the end of the world. The spiritual import of that is astonishing. That God took elementary things and said, look beyond your fleshly eyes and look toward heaven. Seek me first, the kingdom of God and his righteousness. All these things be added to you. You're a special people. You're a kind of first fruits of his creatures. If you're here today and you're not a child of God, therefore you're not a priest. Therefore you're not a beneficiary of what we're talking about. By the way, not being a child of God, you can't call God Father. because only those who are children can call God Father. Your Father which is in heaven. Oh, he's your creator. He's your God. Actually, he's your Lord. The authority over all, wicked and righteous. But Father, special term. If you're here today, you need to be baptized into Christ, or you need to come back to your first love. And being baptized, will you repent of your sins, confessing the faith that you have in Christ? Let's bury the old man, rise out of that water, walk a new life. Or you need to come back to your first love. As we're led in songs, Tim leads us. Won't you come as we stand and sing?